שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach בתוך ישראל. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, in our journey together through the scripture books of Tanakh, I am so glad I paused for a little while longer in the book of Exodus to examine, even superficially, the rich symbolism of the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the wilderness. Your letters of appreciation have been very encouraging, and I offer my sincere thanks to all who have written to me. In this message, it will be our delight to explore the rich symbolism of Mizbach HaZahav Liktoret, the golden altar for incense, which stood before the second veil within the holy place. You will remember that its companion furnishings in that sacred area were the golden menorah and the table of showbread, which we have already considered in immediate past messages. I suggest you write us for these transcripts if you have not already done so. It would be particularly beneficial if you compared this message with my message on the copper altar. Now, let me describe the golden altar to you. Like the copper altar, the golden altar for incense was made of that particular species of acacia tree designated in Tanakh as the shittim tree. It was 1 cubit in length and 1 in breadth, but it was 2 cubits in height. It, too, had 4 projections at its 4 corners, called horns. Around it was a border or crown, beneath which were 2 rings on each side, through which were passed staves, by which it was lifted and transported by those selected and appointed for this privilege. It was attractive enough in shape, but that which lent great beauty and splendor to it was its complete overlaying with pure gold. Even the rings and the staves were overlaid with this precious metal. Read the biblical description of it in the 30th chapter of Exodus and again in the 39th chapter. This glowing and glorious symbolic accoutrement had a sort of roof or top on which a specific and exclusive incense was laid and lighted, filling the holy place with the most exquisite fragrance. You know, ladies love perfumes, and so do men, else ladies wouldn't use them. Therefore, my dear listeners, will want a word or two about the rare and hallowed incense which ascended from the golden altar. You will find the fourfold ingredients mentioned in the 34th verse of the 30th chapter of Exodus. In my Hebrew, they are Nataf, Shechelet, Chelbana, Levona. The first, called Stekte in English, is described by Rashi as an aromatic, resinous gum, which drips from the wood of the balsam tree. The same famous Jewish commentator alludes to the second, known in English as onycha, as the smooth, transparent root of an aromatic herb. The third ingredient, in English galbanum, is reasonably well known in commerce and is a brownish, resinous gum which by itself possesses a disagreeable odor, but which, incorporated with the agreeable spices with which it was associated, merges with a whole to produce a total fragrance. The fourth, levona, is a glittering and brittle vegetable resin obtained by incisions in the bark of a tree. The English word for it is frankincense. If these 4 were not the only spices used, at least they are the only 4 actually named in Tanakh. The use of the Hebrew word samim, meaning aromatics, leaves the door open to the idea that there may have been other spices added to the 4 named. Indeed, Rashi says there were 7 others, and Josephus 9 others. Whatever may be the actualities, The Bible further tells us that it was Mumalach Tahor Kodesh, salted, pure, and holy. It was never to be imitated under penalty of excommunication, and it was to be the only incense used for the golden altar. All others were forbidden. Now, my dear listening friends, I feel sure you are eager to press on to the equally fragrant symbolism underlying this beautiful altar, but because that symbolism is rich and fragrant, I must not fail to call your attention to a few other arresting features. The very word Mizbeach, translated altar, connotes slaughter for sacrifice, and at first it may seem strange to you that no sacrifices were offered on the golden altar for incense, it being employed predominantly for the burning of incense upon it throughout the year. Yet actually, it is vitally and supremely linked with blood sacrifice, because once a year, on the great and awful occasion of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest, and only the high priest, sprinkled upon the horns of the altar the blood of the sin offering. An exclusive incense, an exclusive person, an exclusive ceremony, it tantalizes us to discover its spiritual message, particularly when we add that it possesses an exclusive situation in symbolic instruction, for it is exclusively the only altar which appears in the heavenly temple. How may we best track down the emblematic wonders in this God-bestowed rich symbolism? Was it not the poet Longfellow who referred to footprints in the sands of time? Let us capture his imagery and see if we can detect the sign prints in the sands of Sinai, which will lead us unerringly to the spiritual truth enshrined within the symbolism. As we behold this wonderful tabernacle in the wilderness, it itself is the first sure print indelibly impressed in our spiritual consciousness. It speaks of God, for it came from God. The second impress is equally obvious, for its purpose was for man, for unholy humanity to meet and fellowship acceptably with a holy deity. Thus far the track is clear. Let us follow faithfully shedding preconceived ideas on the way as unseasonable garments that may impede our progress. God, man. Now do we see the third step? Blood and incense blend to beckon us surely onward. Sacrificial blood applied to the horns of the altar by the high priest on Yom Kippur should leave a gargantuan imprint on our souls like the stride of a giant verity across our path of life. Sin is the next sign step in the sands of Sinai and in the souls of us all. The blood on the altar speaks of the divinely provided atonement for the sins of us all. But inevitably joined in association with the blood on the horns of the golden altar is the person of the high priest. The people could bring their sacrifices, but it was the high priest alone who could take the blood and sprinkle it upon the horns of the altar. Here then is our next unmistakable footprint in the sands of Revelation. Who or what is symbolized by Kohen Gadol, the high priest? Ancient Jewish tradition identifies the altar with the Messiah, where, rather quaintly, it is said that seven things were created before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Among the seven was the altar in the celestial sanctuary, directly in front of the deity, having a jewel upon it, engraven with the name of the Messiah. Our great commentator, Rashi, referring to the border or crown around the golden altar of incense, says that it is symbolic of the crown of priesthood. But crowns pertain to kings, and the two offices are kept distinct in the Aaronic order, where then do they combine? Let the Torah itself supply the answer. The very first time that the word priest is mentioned in Scripture is in connection with a mysterious being known as Melchizedek, who, in the very same verse, in Genesis 14:18, is declared both Melech, king, and Kohen, priest. Our Midrashic writings suggest this important person was none other than Shem, the early ancestor of the Messianic line, whilst the Talmud, naming four messiahs, includes Melchizedek, prince of justice, as one of them. We have, however, a more reliable source of information, the Tanakh itself, where we read in Psalm 110 of a declaration of Hashem, the eternal God, directed to and in respect of a person designated the Lord of King David. The psalm begins, Le David, Mizmor, Neum Hashem, Ladoni, the Eternal said unto my Lord. In the same inspired scripture, we read that David's Lord is declared by unalterable divine decree, Kohen Le'olam El Divrati Melchizedek, priest forever, after the manner of Melchizedek. Who then is David's Lord, with divinely declared rights to wear both the crown of kingship and the mitre of priesthood, and whom our most ancient Jewish tradition surrounds with messianic aura, and whose priestly intercession and mediation, like the precious incense, ascends acceptably before the throne of grace on our behalf? The full answer will be found in another divinely inspired Jewish scripture known as Egeret El HaEvrim, Letter to the Hebrews, a copy of which we will gladly send to any of our listeners. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yosem lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.